Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Both Keith and Greg sent me a tip and said, Steve, did you see this in the news? And I'd actually seen quite a bit about this, but I hadn't caught the fact that a warning had been issued. An actual warning has been issued. Do not fill plastic bags with gasoline, the government warns as shortages grow. And both Keith and Greg sent this to me. And Greg said, Steve, you know, if they issue the warning, it's because people are doing it. And that's true. That's how this works. So there's been a gasoline shortage at some gas stations in the East because of a pipeline shutdown. Not going to get into that because that's a little technical for what I talk about. But what we're talking about now, though, is the fact there's a shortage of a consumer product in an area, widespread, and as a result, people are panic buying. Now, this all was resolved as far as the pipeline goes yesterday afternoon. So the pipeline is back open. The problem, of course, is you got to push the gas through the pipeline, then you got to get it to the stations, and then you got to get it to the people. So there's still going to be a delay there. But here's the thing. The U.S. Product Safety Commission, the U.S. CPSC, on Wednesday warned Americans to not fill plastic bags with gasoline as the fuel shortages worsened for a sixth day and consumers raced to secure supplies. So I saw photographs on the internet of people putting gasoline in all kinds of stupid things other than their cars. And now they make recommended fuel containers, you know, gas cans. But I saw people putting gasoline in like those totes, the plastic totes used for storage. I saw people putting gasoline in plastic bags, like garbage bags. I saw people using the bags that you get at a grocery store with the handles on them. I saw people putting gasoline in big tanks, you know, like just in case their gas tank in their car wasn't big enough, they wanted a couple hundred extra gallons to back themselves up on. So the agency tweeted, do not fill plastic bags with gasoline, followed by use only containers approved for fuel. And if you actually read the signage around the gas pumps, and I know most people don't anymore, but I worked at a gas station years and years and years ago, back before self-serve existed, and people would come in occasionally and say, can I get gas? And they'd pull out like a glass jar. And I'd say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that for you. And they go, why not? And I'd point to the sign, and I'd say, by the way, I'll get fired. And I'm just a high school kid making minimum wage, so I can't afford that. And you'd have, occasionally, people get upset by that, but, you know, hey, it's not me. It's a sign. The sign trumps all. So fuel shortages worsened in the southeastern U.S. on Wednesday as gas stations ran out of supply in some cities, and that supply crunch was worsened by panic buying. And as some people have noticed, if the panic buying hadn't happened, many of those stations wouldn't have run out of gas. And so, unfortunately, people just panic buy. And I remember on 9/11, I was teaching that day. And I drove into school, and I drove by gas stations with huge lines. Big, long lines. So I got to school, and I was preparing to teach class, and I was there a few minutes early, and we were discussing what had happened. 9/11. And at that time, it was still a little unclear. On the same day, it was still a little unclear as exactly what was going on. And I said, did anybody here get in line to buy gas? And a guy raised his hand. He goes, yeah, I did. I go, how long were you in line for? And he goes, like, you know, 20 minutes. I go, why? Like, why'd you do that? We got a gas? He goes, no. I go, so wait, you had gas? He goes, yeah, I had 3/4 of a tank. I go, so you waited in line all that time just to get another quarter of a tank? He goes, yeah. I go, why? And he goes, well, other people were in line. So the supply crunch was worsened by panic buying. It's brought long lines and high prices at the pump ahead of the Memorial Day holiday weekend at the end of this month, which traditionally marks the start of the peak summer driving season. And of course, if everything stays the same as it is right now, the gasoline supply should be back to normal. So the U.S. CPC has a Twitter account, and they tweeted out, when using a gas canister, never pour gasoline over or near an open flame. Apparently, they felt the need to throw that in also. And so, I've already mentioned that it's against the law to put gasoline in a bag. It's also unsafe. I saw somebody filling a big plastic tote with gasoline, and then they picked it up and put it in the trunk of their car. And now, here's the thing. Most people don't stop to think about this because they don't often encounter that situation. But imagine putting a fish tank in your car and then trying to drive someplace with it without having it slosh over, assuming the water's anywhere near the top. And so putting a big thing of gasoline in the back of your car, even if you put the lid on it and sloshed around a little bit, the gas will get out. And there ain't nothing worse than the smell of gasoline in a vehicle. If it gets in the carpeting or in any of the padding or anything like that, it can be horrific. This, you know, and it'll take a long, long time to get out the smell if you can get it out at all. So you might be wondering, Steve, was there a solution to this? And there are some legal issues that arise, but there was an obvious solution. And it kind of bothers me that the gas stations didn't do this, but the obvious solution would have been to ration gas. And I know that people freak out when they hear that word, but we had to do that back in the 70s during the original OPEC energy oil slash gas crisis, which was caused by OPEC, where they actually said, because gas stations will run out otherwise, we're going to limit you to only being able to fuel your car every other day based on the number of your license plate or some such. And all the gas stations here had to do was pick a number, 5, 10, and say, you can buy gas, but you can only buy 5 gallons. And then have somebody stand out there and actually monitor it. But they didn't do this for two reasons. One is, they don't care. They just want to sell their gas. So they can sell their gas to 10 customers instead of 100. It's less work for them to sell it to 10. And number two, to have someone stand outside would require them hiring an extra person. And they can't. They don't want to do that. They don't want to do that. So because they don't want to do that, they allow the long lines. They allow the people to be putting the gas in the bags, which, by the way, I think there might be some liability on the gas stations for allowing that to happen. But I'd have to check. And I'm, you know, it probably varies from state to state also. But the idea that there's people putting gasoline in garbage bags and the attendants are standing there going, oh, okay, sounds good to me. That's a problem. So they should have and could have rationed the gas and said, everybody gets 5 gallons, everybody gets 10 gallons, whatever it is, pick a number. And then when people see a line a mile long and they go, I can only get 10 gallons. Well, I've got half a tank. I'll wait. And that would have resolved a lot of this because now people are going, oh, the gas is back online. Okay, I can get gas in a couple of days. That's fine. So they could have rationed it. But the other thing is there was a mention in the article about high prices, high prices. And I remember on 9/11 when I was driving by gas stations where they had simply reset the pumps to every single one was $5 a gallon, $5, $5, $5. And a bunch of gas stations did that here in Michigan. And Michigan's got a law called the Michigan Consumer Protection Act, which has largely been gutted by the Michigan Supreme Court. But one of the portions that is still effective is the portion that says that the attorney general can step in cases of price gouging and go after merchants that gouge prices. So that when something like that happens, if they charge a price grossly in excess of the value of the goods at the time of the sale, they can be called on the carpet and actually brought into court, and an injunction can be issued saying they can never do it again, and they can be fined. They can be fined. Now, there are people in the audience who study economics or just think about economics who are going to say, wait a second, Steve. If there's an emergency someplace and we cap prices, there's no incentive for people to bring other things into the market to solve the shortage, if in fact there's a shortage. I'll give an example, hurricanes. So for instance, in a hurricane goes through town, wipes out a lot of stuff, power is gone. And the power company says, hey, we got a problem. Our infrastructure is damaged. We won't have power for weeks and weeks and weeks. So some enterprising guy goes, wait a second. I can run up a couple hundred miles up the interstate and load a truck with every generator I can buy and bring them back down here and sell them and make a profit. So you drive up there, you buy the generators, you bring them back down here, you mark them up and you sell them. And I've heard of cases before where people were prosecuted for doing that because they said, well, the generator has got an MSRP of this. That's what you paid for it. But you brought it down here and you sold it for a big markup. And the big markup is substantially more than the price of the goods at the time of the sale and the value of the goods. And people have done that and gotten in trouble. So they go, okay, I won't do it again. So there's a bunch of people sitting around in an area that's been wiped out by a hurricane going, I wish I had a generator. Local Home Depot is wiped out, literally, the building's down. And if it wasn't, the few they had in stock are gone. So who has an incentive to bring them in? Well, I don't know, Salvation Army, United Nations, some kind of relief organization maybe. But the marketplace can sometimes cause things to happen which will level things out. So again, if I am sitting here and I've got a big old truck and I want to go get generators, I could. but I won't for fear I'll get prosecuted for doing so. On the other hand, a gas station's got gas. They bought it at the wholesale price. They have a price on it as to what they're selling it for. People start lining up for some irrational reason because they think they might need to get gas because they saw other people getting gas. So the gas station flips a switch and doubles the price just because they can. And the question is that wrong? Well, I'm not going to make a judgment call on that. I'm simply the attorney in this conversation letting you know that under Michigan law and many state laws, that is illegal to simply jack the price up and gouge on the pricing. Gouge is such an ugly word for those of you who are in business, but that's what they call it, okay? So really, that is an issue. I'm not sure how much of that was happening. I heard rumors of it, but I never saw any like photographs people took of gas pumps or price signs to indicate this. But I do remember driving by gas stations back at 9/11, seeing it where it said, you know, unleaded $5, mid-grade $5, premium $5. They were all just $5 a gallon. And they had done that because they could. So crazy story, but underneath it all is the notion that we've got to actually tell people, do not fill plastic bags with gasoline. Among other things, plastic bags are not structurally sound. They might not hold the gas for very long. Depends on what they're made out of. I wonder whether or not the gasoline interacts well with that kind of plastic. And then also in other containers, you got problems. And one of the reasons that you use a, you know, proper gas can is, among other things, it's bright red. And gas cans have a specific color. And that is so people can identify them by looking at them. And so when you have a tote filled with fluid and it's just sitting there, what is that? Oh, that's gas. I'm stockpiling gas because there was a shortage a couple weeks ago. And I am very curious because I saw some people who were obviously very, very uncoordinated, shall we say, putting gasoline into plastic bags. I would almost pay money to see the video of that person trying to get the gasoline out of the bag into their gas tank. I mean, on some levels, it had to be pretty funny to watch because one of the things that gas cans have is a spout. That helps you get gas into the car. And most garbage bags or grocery store bags don't have spouts and neither do laundry totes. So it's a crazy situation. And Greg Key, thanks for passing along. And as Greg said, you know, they got to tell you this because people are doing it. And they were. I saw it all over the internet and it was a meme. And, you know, it was caused by something very serious, but it's not something you should do. So do not fill plastic bags with gasoline, U.S. warns as shortages grow. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. You can't teach somebody how to be funny. You're either funny or you ain't.